This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Lance Armstrong, not quite getting the Michael Jordan treatment.
No.
But after we've been so used to watching ESPN documentaries for the last month and a half, I guess the next best option. Wasn't good enough. I didn't have a chance to sit down. I may get to it at some point this week before they get to part two, which I believe is next weekend, correct, Woodsy? But
yeah.
You took the time.
I did.
To watch the ESPN Lance Armstrong. Now, is this the same? Now, what do you know about this as well? Did they do it like with Michael? Did he have some say on this, or is this simply an independent look back at Lance Armstrong? Because he obviously participated.
Yeah,
he sits down and gets interviewed about the whole thing. I saw some of that on social media.
Yeah, it's tough, man. It's I don't know that there's been a more complex character. And we talked about Ryan Leaf earlier, Ben, and the disappointment, you know, that you felt. Watching Ryan Leaf kind of fall from grace. He was arrested again over the weekend, if you hadn't heard, for domestic battery. Complex guy. I don't know that anybody is more complex than Lance Armstrong, honestly.
Hmm.
Michael Jordan's not really complex. Michael Jordan was a psychopath, the greatest of all time, in my opinion, that all he wanted to do was win. But he did it, by all accounts, the quote-unquote right way. This one, man, it's different. Now, I'm from the Dallas-Fort Worth area where Lance grew up, Plano, Texas. When Live Strong was at its heyday, I mean, that was Austin and Dallas. That was like the epicenter. I mean, you saw more guys riding around in U.S. Postal Service jerseys for about a four-year period than you ever thought.
With the yellow bracelet.
The yellow bracelet. I had a yellow bracelet. Everybody I knew had it. It was like a Swatch watch back when we were in sixth grade. Everybody had that.
And there's nothing. I mean, there's. And he did have cancer.
Dude,
didn't lie about that.
So it starts off essentially. So it's different in the Jordan documentary in that it's basically going to be a chronological thing. And it started. I didn't know his mom was 17 years old when she had him. They pretty much grew up together. His real father left them. He was a kid like you would imagine, cocky, arrogant, but wasn't an athlete. Was not a good athlete, in fact. Couldn't throw, couldn't run, was not fast. Joined the swim team, and he was a 12-year-old swimming with 7-year-olds. And he said he was mortified. He said, but I never quit. I just wanted to get better. And he kept moving a lane over, a lane over, a lane over. Next thing you know, he's actually a really good swimmer. Well, then he, for some crazy reason, gets in people's brains that they want to start doing triathlons. And I think that's it's just the craziest thing that you could ever imagine. So he starts doing triathlons. Finds out, man, I really like being on that bike. Running's fine, swimming's cool, but I like being on that bike. I can lose myself on that bike. Well, then he just starts to grind at it. We're talking 13, 14, 15, 16 years old. I mean, think about what you were doing at 13, 14. Not this, right? Not focused on your goals and all these. But it didn't come from an outside source. It was all kind of innate in him. And he was just really driven. And it kind of shows his progression. There's a little more behind the scenes in cycling that I wanted to know, that I cared. I'm not a cycler. I don't follow. I've never watched the Tour de France except for when Lance Armstrong was winning them. But I'll tell you what, man, and I'm prone to this, but I had some sympathy for the guy.
Really?
I did.
I'm surprised.
Well, we haven't gotten into the really bad stuff yet. Okay, so we haven't gotten into part two, I guess, is where it gets pretty gnarly.
I just know what you don't like. You hate hypocrisy.
Yeah.
You know, the whole Justin Verlander. And Lance Armstrong was always so, I mean, viciously adamant.
So we're not there
about not cheating.
We're not there. So we're not there in this documentary. And I promise you, part two is going to be a little bit different than part one. Here's the thing that really got me. So he's racing. He's doing really well. He's got sponsors. He made 18 grand his first year, 24 the next. Then he gets Motorola. And then, you know, then it's on. He's living on Lake Como in Italy. They're all training over there. He's a kid. He's 21, 22 years old. Like, having a ball and training really hard and, you know, with girls, having a ball, doing the thing that he does. But then he discovers what I didn't know about cycling was this. Doping's always been okay. It's always been okay. Like, once they started doing the Tour de France, which, again, 3 weeks, 2,500 miles. 21 days, 2,500 miles, stupidest thing I can imagine. If you put a gun to my head and said, do the Tour de France, I'm going to kill you, I'd be like, pull the trigger. I don't even want to try. I don't want to try.
I'm just trying to feel how sore my backside would be, Ben, after that much time on a bike.
There's no way.
I do my Peloton for 30 minutes. It's
like, you want to die. Yeah, you want to. Like, God, this is awful. But so doping's always been okay. And then EPO came out. And then they found out that this EPO, dude, it's the production of red blood cells. You meet this coach, Ferrari is his name, and they kind of resisted it for a while. Then they jump headlong into EPO doping, and he said it was just night and day. He said so many cyclists would plateau early, and they're like, I realized I can't get any better on my own. This is the best that I can do. Well, then I take a little shot of EPO, and next thing you know, I'm winning the Tour de France. Then he gets cancer, and that's when the sympathy kicked in. He had an enlarged testicle, and it was very painful to the touch. He ignored it. He ignored it, like men do, and, you know, dumb pride gets in the way. And it shows him quitting the Tour de France one year, and they're like, oh, he may have bronchitis. No, he had cancer. And when he goes to the doctor, they look at him, they do the scans. Ben, he's got stage 4 cancer. Stage 4. It was so bad that he said, these are your charts, Lance. You have surgery tomorrow at 7 a.m. It's that bad. Took it out, and then they do the chemotherapy. He had surgery on his brain. I mean, dude, you watch this guy. He's dying. He's stage 4. He's given a death sentence. And you watch him even be able to come back from that. So, yeah, that's where the sympathy kicked in.
None of that is fake. That was all real.
Oh, my God.
I saw some clips where his stepdad was, like, brutally hard on
him. Yeah, very, very tough on him. Used to beat him up, you know, things like that. So, of course, you know, if you're a human being, you sympathize. And it all is part of the bigger story of Lance Armstrong. You're not going to meet a more arrogant dude. I mean, you couldn't find a more arrogant human being. I mean, he looked like that when he was 16. He looked like a kid. You're like, God, I hate that kid. I would not be friends with that dude. He's just always had that in him. But holy cow, man.
I don't know if there's a right way to cheat, because I guess if there was, the argument would be, I didn't want to do it, but it seemed like everyone else was doing it, so I just felt...
Well, they talked to...
I felt compelled to keep up. I needed to do it with everyone else.
They talked to a couple of guys that were...
And I'm sorry, you know, that I made that choice. Yep. And I understand it's wrong. I never felt that from Lance Armstrong. I felt denials. I heard him, you know, belittling others
100%.
Who accused him. I mean, he made people's life hell.
Yeah, exactly.
Who were trying to keep the sport clean.
Yeah.
Knowing that he was, you know, probably the biggest cheater of them all out there.
No, like, if nobody did it better than us. Nobody. And again, we're not to that part in the documentary, but part one,
it's kind of the same thing with Barry Bonds. You know, greatest of all time. You could argue Lance Armstrong, greatest of all time in his sport.
Oh, yeah.
Barry Bonds, greatest of all time in his sport. It's not like neither of them didn't put in any work.
That's the thing, too.
They both put in tons and tons of work, and both of them were great at what they did.
It's not a magical – you don't take a shot of steroids and become Barry Bonds.
But it probably did take the cheating for both of them to reach the transcendent level.
And he said – and Lance said in it, he said he goes, I didn't realize just how big I was at the time. He goes, it's LeBron James level. Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's really before a lot of social media and stuff. He goes, yeah, I mean, it was an icon, period. And I think there was a part of him that was like, why is everyone so mad? Like, everybody does this. I'm just really good at it. And everybody's doing it. Greg LeMond, all of them, all the guys. They talked to his whole team. Yeah, and the first question, I loved this, in the interviewer, young lady who interviewed him, first question. So how old were you when you started doping? And all the guys were like this. Oh, wow, right out of the chute, you're going to come with that question. Because it was just so accepted in that, and it always had been. I was pretty fascinated by the documentary. I'm not going to sit here and be like, oh, dude, give the guy a second chance. He's great. Like, the guy sucks. He sucks. Like you said, I remember. We all remember how awful he made people's lives, but... once you get a little bit of the backstory to it, it does kind of open the door a little bit for it to make even a little bit more sense. I'm not posting him as some sympathetic character.
I wonder how the next then episode will go.
I bet it's going to be gnarly,
interesting,
man.
Yeah.
Because I'll tell you what, one thing they're not doing, they're not whitewashing any of this, man. This isn't some, you know, fondling of Lance Armstrong. It's pretty gnarly, and he's very honest in it. Very, very honest. So I dug it. I dug it. I fell asleep about an hour and 20 in. I got about 20 minutes left to go, and I find myself looking forward to going back, revisiting it today, watching some of it next week.
All right. Well, it's a pretty good endorsement and maybe a reason for me to check it out, see if everyone else out there thinks the same.
I'd like your take on it, Benny. I would. Because if everybody was running laps around us and we knew how to get there, I mean, what do you do? You know, professionally, like, what do you do? And that's the interesting conundrum. I know everybody wants to say, oh, I would never. Hey, man, it's this easy. Everybody, you're never going to get where you want to be unless you do this. And in that, I really feel like in cycling, it was, the disparity was so far between the clean and the dirty. I don't want to sit here and say, I think he had to, but Ben, I kind of think they had to do it. And there's a reason that 90% of them were doing it.
Should you be punished for being really good
at
cheating?
Right.
I mean, Barry Bonds, obviously, you know, Victor Conti and Valco, he had a little edge on the edge everyone else was taking
as
well. And for some people, that made it feel more wrong. I mean, is it really more wrong to be a good cheater than a bad cheater?
Cheating is cheating, right?
Yeah,
It's so fascinating. But
right, interesting stuff.
It's a good watch.
We got one of our friends, coronavirus champion Dan Szymborski, Fangraphs, ESPN. Always love chatting with him. Get his thoughts on what could be happening this week in baseball as well. Get to that coming up next with Ben Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.